Howdy, writers! KJ here, staring ahead into fall 2021 and trying to ignore the fact that it feels like staring into the abyss. Stop. Wait. That's really not where I meant to go with that. What I want to focus on is the other part of fall. Crunchy leaves, pumpkins, apples, school supplies, fresh starts. If that's the part of fall you want more of, maybe it's time for a new beginning as a book coach. Just imagine enrolling in the classes, meeting a cohort, learning all the ways coaches are editorial and emotional support for writers, and then starting to line up your first clients. Students working with Author Accelerator say they begin to book authors before they're even done with the course, and often end up being booked months in advance. Sound like fun? Agreed. Go to bookcoaches.com to learn more.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. I don't remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three.
Okay.
KJ Delatania, and this is hashtag Am Writing's final episode for the year 2021. Yeah. Cue the crowd noise and all the things. Hashtag Am Writing is the podcast about writing all those things. Short things, long things, fiction, non-fiction, articles, essays, entire books. This is the podcast about finding a way to sit down and get that work done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation and articles that are out there on the interwebs in places like The Atlantic and The New York Times and The Washington Post.
And I'm Serena Bowen, a 20-time USA Today bestselling author of romance novels. You can find me wherever ebooks are sold.
And I am KJ Delantonia, the author of the novel The Chicken Sisters and the forthcoming, this coming summer, novel In Her Boots. I am also the former editor and lead writer of The Motherlode at The New York Times, where I am, I'm going to just designate myself as a former contributor.
It's going to be really cool because you're going to get to say In Her Boots coming out this year. That's happening.
I know, yes.
Very exciting.
Very soon. Very soon. All the things. So, speaking of coming out this year and doing things this year, this is our annual Set Yourself Some Goals episode, in which we talk about both the goals that we are personally setting, but also how we set goals, why we choose to do it the way that we do, and why there are certain goals that we just don't set. So, yeah.
I love this episode so
too.
Much. It forces me to just think about these things and to be mindful of how I spend my time and how I want to spend my time. And I'm just really grateful we do this every year. And I'm grateful we do a mid-year check-in as well, because I find that's really helpful as well. I'll go first this time since I'm the one already jabbering away.
Instead of talking about our specific goals, let's do it. I mean, we talk about this every year, but I think it also evolves a little every year. Let's do a little just rundown of what kinds of goals, like what kind of rules that you follow as you set the goals. And I will throw out there that we have a goal setting ebook. And if you're in the show notes, I will figure out a way to click it so that you can get that. I can't promise it doesn't say 2021 on it. It used to say 2019 on it. I also can't promise that it will come in the form of an ebook. It might come as a PDF, because I have not yet formatted this or made any of this a reality for this year, although we've had it for past years. So if you want a little booklet that we created that is about how we set our goals that will help you to set some goals for this year, head to the show notes and there'll be some obvious thing that you can click.
KJ, why don't you start talking about how you set your goals? Because I have changed my goal setting based on the way you did it. Because, you taught me some really important things when we first started doing this podcast about how to set goals and how to put, I don't know, to put fences around certain kinds of goals and how to have priorities around those goals. And I really like how you explain it.
Well, Serena talked about in the last episode how she has really internalized the fact that we only set goals we can control. That's not entirely true. We used to, if you look back at my goals from a few years ago, I would set three things I could control and three things that I couldn't, but the things that I couldn't control would each have a thing associated with them that I could do. Yep. So, you know, actions that I could take to make those things more likely. So, you know, a goal that you can control is finish a book. A goal that you cannot control is sell a book. But, you know, if you put under sell a book, your first goal is look for agents to pitch. You can control that. Right. You cannot control find an agent. So, you know, find an agent is it's a fine goal, but it has to go under your I can't actually make this happen, but then you need a list of definitive things that you can do. So, you know, I guess that's the way that I think about it.
Well, and the reasoning behind this is that when you have a goal that is something that you can actually control, you get to feel good about that work, whether or not something is achieved, whether or not you achieve the shiny object. And this comes down to this thing that I write about a lot, which is called self-efficacy, that if I decide to do something, that I can make it happen. And that it's really important to set goals that are within your individual control, because that's something that you, first of all, personal goals, you don't report to anyone else about those. If you have to cancel them halfway through the year because priorities change, we had our 6-month check-in right after COVID first hit, and we realized that some of those things just weren't going to happen because life was happening on a global scale in a way we didn't anticipate. And having some of those goals be under your personal control makes it less of a blow, really, when you have to reevaluate everything. And I think it having a feeling of self-efficacy begets more feelings of self-efficacy, which begets better mental health. So I think that's a really important way to think about it. So given that, this year I didn't do as much of the micro listing underneath the goals, because I'm pulling a little bit of what KJ pulled last year, which is I'm stepping back a little bit this year. So, and this is really hard for me to do. I love my work. I love writing. I love researching. I love having big goals. I'm very deadline oriented. I'm very goal oriented. And so for me to step back from that this year is really scary for me. But my goals for this year, goals for 2022, have to do with what? Why are you laughing? KJ's laughing.
Because
at me.
We can hear your dog. Oh, you can hear the snoring yeah. in your lap, which is yeah. adorable yeah. and totally fine. But yeah. It's
Moby's
just
snoring.
Funny.
For those who don't know, I have a new puppy who also snores because it has a flattened face like Coco did. And you're going to hear Moby snoring occasionally. My goals for this year have to do with two book proposals that I'm very, very excited about. I've never had two very well put together and well thought out book proposals at the same time, which is going to be a new experience for me, and I don't know what that's going to look like, but I have a feeling there's going to be a sequence to these that makes sense once I've had a conversation with my agent. But I have set dates for myself because I like to do that. I like to have self-imposed deadlines. I have refined them, and I'm sorry to be circumspect about this stuff, listeners, but I can't talk about the topics. But refine the one that's basically done and has been through two edits with my agent already so that it's in hand and not, possibly not hand it off to my agent quite yet, because I want to finish the second one, which I think actually will probably be the first one to get submitted. So yeah, it's really hard for me to sit there with a finished book proposal just sitting there all juicy and done, but I think it makes sense to finish the second one as well and make an informed decision about what goes forward. So those are my work goals, and those are some big goals. There's a lot of research to be done, and there's a lot of writing to be done. And I do have the self-imposed date for having both of those done and ready to submit on March 15th. So I think that's doable. Number three and four are where things get really interesting for me, because there are two things happening. My 18-year-old is going to college in August. And after August, there will not be children living in this house. And my 18-year-old and I need to spend time together this year. And so I'm carving out time if I need to, weekly set-asides, like on the calendar, where I do not feel guilty about not working. I do not feel guilty about not cleaning, that this is time that I need to spend with my kid because I have very limited time left with this kid. And that's really, really important to me. So that means a big carve out of time. And for those of you who have been listening for a while, you know that we moved to this new house 3 years ago, and almost none of the projects that I wanted to get started on fixing the house up got started. And we've had a couple of emergency things happening, including a plumbing disaster. So currently, right now, we're about to welcome guests to our house, and there is a big hole in the wall of our bathroom. And there are all kinds of other things that need to be done. And that makes me feel really good about myself, too, is fixing things and building things and installing things and making my environment right for me. And so I have been putting that off for 3 years now in favor of writing all the time. And it's really, really important for me to cut some. So I think if you look at my calendar in terms of writing, I don't think it's going to fully qualify as part-time, but I'm thinking of it as working, writing part-time just this 1 year so that I can have time with my kids and I can do the work on the house. And that's exciting. I've never given myself that before, and I'm really excited about it.
It's very cool.
It's very cool. And
there was a pause. Yeah, because there was a pause as we all enjoyed a particularly juicy Moby snore. No, I was just thinking that you're right, that you really went straight from a full-time job plus writing. And I think that you had a real sense that you needed to make up for giving up that full-time job by mm-hmm. writing frantically all the time so that you were still working and still earning and speaking on top of it. And it is really nice that you're feeling able to recognize the success that you've achieved, and that success allows you to make more choices about what you do, because that's what success is supposed to be for, right?
Well, and when I get to my word, the word goes into that as well, because I think making those choices, especially recently, I also have a family member that just needs more help right now. And that family member, I want to be free to be able to do that, to be able to get in my car and drive and go be with my parents for a bit. And that's really, really important to me as well. And so making really important choices about what I say yes to, because especially with addiction inoculation coming out, I said yes to everything. I said mm-hmm. yes to everything. And I'm now having to say no to a lot, and I'm finding it incredibly freeing. So.
Great. Well, yeah. I totally respect that. I just think it's really good. So I don't know, I guess I'll roll on since I'm already talking. It's funny because I wrote as my first goal, I wrote write and sell the book finish and sell the book that I'm currently working on. And I crossed out sell and wrote pitch because I did that actually before we sat down, because I was remembering, oh wait, sell is not within my control. Pitch is within my control. Or I suppose that you could frame this as sell this book is my goal, and that's accurate. But the things that are within my control are, first, I need to finish it. And, you know, then I need to work with my agent to pitch it successfully. So there's that. I have that as a goal. I have a couple of funky goals for myself this year. I would like to write and pitch a holiday short story. I've never successfully written a short story, so this is going to be me expanding my skills. And one of the reasons I have never written a short story is that I don't like the New Yorker version of the short story, which is the, oh my God, I only have 5 pages, so I need to make it as dark and miserable and deep about life as I possibly can. But I have recently realized that that is only one version of the short story, and that there exist other lighter, more, more me-friendly as a writer versions of that. Because I'm just never, I'm sorry, I don't have a dark short story about being imprisoned during, you know, a small war in a torn country because I was selling drugs and got captured. I don't have that. I just don't have it. That's not in me. So, but I think a holiday fun short story is within my wheelhouse. And I'm taking, just to throw it out there, Chandler Baker, who's somebody I know distantly and writes sort of similar books that what I feel like is sort of a similar genre. She wrote and sold a short story called Oh, What Fun, which is a holiday short story. And you can find it on Amazon Originals, and it is super short. And it is super fun. And I was like, oh, this feels much more. And I've been working towards that all year. So, all right, holiday short story, that I want to write and pitch. I would also like to write another short story that is something more like something that I use on my website to say, hey, sign up for my email list and you can get this bonus short story. That is, you know, definitely a Serena trick and one that I want to try. And I am also working on what is feeling like an ebook that I call how to promote your traditionally published novel. And I'm doing this in part because one of my good friends has a fantastic novel coming out next November. And she'll be on the podcast and y'all will hear all about it. It's Catherine Newman and the book is We All Want Impossible Things and I love it so much. So I started to like write out what I think that she needs to do between now and November. And when I realized it was going to be 40 pages, I was like, okay, I'll give this to Catherine and I'm going to do something else with it. So I want to finish that. My goals, I have more this year than I had last year. Really
ambitious.
Around,
I'm loving this. This is ambitious. Yeah,
it's I like it. It's not that much. It's doable. Really, I want to improve my craft. Like, I want to get better at this thing. I both want to get better in the sense of being able to get to a good result faster, and I want to get better in the sense of having the good result be even better. So that's going to be a big focus of mine this year, and how I do that isn't entirely clear yet. So expect lots of podcasts where I turn to writers and say, hi, how do you get better at this thing? So they can answer. I have a goal to finish. I've been working my way through the Author Accelerator coaching certification course that we talk about in the sponsor moments on this podcast. So consider this this is like that moment on other podcasts when people are like, no, I really totally wear Bombas socks. And hey, we do totally wear Bombas socks, so Bombas, call us. But I really have been working my way through the Author Accelerator coaching certification class on fiction. It is amazing, even as someone who spent many years being a professional editor, learning to do the emotional support piece of this and also learning to do it from a book perspective rather than a short pieces perspective has been super interesting. I have one more sort of chunk to complete and turn in, and then hopefully I can declare myself officially certified. So my goal is to finish that and to work with a certain number of writers, and I have a financial goal around that, but I think I'll keep that. I think I'll keep that in my vest for the moment. Promote In Her Books to my own satisfaction.
Boots? Although In Her
I'm
Books
sorry,
sounds good,
In Her Books is
too.
Another good title, isn't
it's
it?
It's a great title.
That's the sequel. No, not hardly. Promote In Her Boots to my own satisfaction while recognizing that it will not be selected as a Reese book and therefore will not, it's not, the magic fairy dust isn't going to happen for this one, even though I love it and I'm super proud of it. And I would tell you that it's in many ways, it's better because I'm getting better at this, but it's just not going to be the same, but it's going to be its own wonderful thing. So I'm excited about it. And then I have some podcasty goals, but why don't we shift on to Serena sharing her goals, and then I'll talk more about what I want us to do for the podcast next year.
Well, I am also possibly pulling back a little bit, but man, that is like almost a harder goal than the leaning in years. So last year,
says the person who regularly messages us that she got her sticker at 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I had last year that I wanted to finish 4 books, and this year I put 3 down. But the more important thing right next to it says happily, meaning that I don't want to find myself in the position this year of spending too much time really laboring on projects that aren't what I want to be writing. So that what that means is that I have to choose more carefully, and I have been setting up for that. So I think we're going to be okay. And so this year also, under each of my goals, I have a how am I going to do it thing, because, you know, got to keep that rolling. And delegation, defending my mornings, and working offline are three ways that I hope to do that. So then I have pitch a non-romance or start writing one. And I've actually even jump-started that for December. In preparation for having a 2022 that was happy-making for me, I gave myself all of December for ideation and organization. And what that means is I have a Scrivener document, and there's a bunch of folders in it, and every one of them is a book that I may write in the next 2 years, or at least enough thought about the book that I can decide whether or not it, you know, it's going to possibly make it into the mix. There are too many things on there for me to execute, but I wanted to give myself like a little bit of rope to consider those ideas really carefully so that I could make a smart decision when I get the chance. So I had wanted to do this last March, and I have been talking to an agent that I used to work with years ago about pitching something to traditional publishing. And I was going to do something for her in March, and I thought about it all year and didn't do it because, honestly, I feel sort of cursed when I come up with a project for traditional publishing. I have sold projects, then have them come back and land in my lap, or I have written things on spec that did not sell more than once. And yet, if I write another romance, I know who's going to buy it already. So it's so tempting to just stay here and to do things the same way all the time. But in 2022, I want to try again. You know, I'm going to run and try to kick this football one more time. And so I've already begun writing these proposals. And we're just going to see what happens there. And even if it means I write one fewer book this year because I'm monkeying around with, you know, different ideas, I'm still going to do it because I feel as though in this job, if you don't grow and you don't change, you will burn out faster. So I'd like to use different writing muscles in 2022 so I can keep evolving, even if it tanks my income somewhat, because I just need to, and I can't keep producing the same books over and over again, even when people are clamoring for them. And that is a really hard decision. But if the time that it takes me to write a romance keeps slowing down because I feel a little bit stuck, then it's just not going to help readers or me. So it's sort of like a defending my own ability to change, even when people are asking me not to. So setting aside time, getting off my mental treadmill for ideation is really goal number two. And then number three is just how does that ideation happen? And those goals are around continuous and cautious and organized ways of keeping my notes. And I did have a few moments this December as I gathered myself and cruised the JetPens website to make sure there weren't any notebooks out there that would make me even better at this. I really had to find a way. Like if I want to go off on a tangent and write some stuff down about a book that might or might not be a good idea, I'm going to do it all in one spot so that I can go back and find that stuff. And that's something I'm working on this month. And that I know I can stick to it. I just didn't need to before. Like, I didn't understand how disruptive it was to have ideas in lots of different spots. And so I'm getting better at that. And then my fourth thing has to do with healthy goals, meaning I lost some weight starting in September. And that has been really wonderful because this can be a sedentary job. But I've found some ways to to change my daily habits in, and it's working. So maintaining that going into the next year is super important to me, but I feel really good about it. Like everything on this list is something that I've up to a point learned how to do, and I need to keep doing it and keep optimizing basically. And yeah, that's a little bit dull. It's not like in 2022, I'm going to do this thing I've never done before in my life. But in some ways I am, because these are all things that I care about and want to do better. And then my last goal is to read more widely, nonfiction, fiction outside of my genre. And the way that I'm going to execute that has to do with using the library more effectively, reading while I'm walking. I have got to teach myself to appreciate audiobooks as much as my readers appreciate them, and just to stay on it. And I have successfully last year used a journal for this, where I don't even have to finish books. That's actually part of my goal too, like to try something and to experience it. I don't have that guilt of needing to finish every book I start. I've never had that guilt, and I don't plan to adopt it now. So I've really enjoyed tracking the narratives that I've started in on, at least, and most of them I finished. But and then I write like what would have I done differently for each book in that, or what about this book jumps out at me? Like, how is the narrative structured? What voice is it in? What choices did that make? And I feel like if I make a few notes about it, it sticks with me more. And I've really enjoyed that. So I'm going to keep that going in 2022 as well.
Oh, I'm already starting to make my mental lists about books that Jess has to tell Serena about for audiobooks.
Oh,
so that she can try some interesting audiobooks. There's such good stuff that you don't even have to listen to the whole thing. Just there's some cool things being done out there. So, yeah. Can't wait.
Are you going to use the library for audiobooks?
Up to a point. I have Hoopla now because my library just adopted Hoopla. And it's super handy for basically immediate gratification. I also use Libby/Overdrive. And they have actually a better selection, but you usually have to wait. And sometimes by the time that book comes back for me, like my head is not in the right spot for that book.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's been the problem for me as well. Libby is the one that my library uses, and it's fantastic. It's just difficult. By the time I get it, I've either read it somewhere else or I'm over it. So do you want to dive into the words?
Sure. Okay, you look excited.
I am excited because I didn't, coming up with one word is always hard for me. I like words. I need a lot of them. But
last year's word for you was organized.
Last year's word was organized. It had to do with thoughts, my process, my time, and my priorities. And, in progress. This year, I love me a good etymology. And so this year I went back and I was looking at words, not just as I always do it, for what they mean on their face, but also what they mean. Words have two meanings. They have their what's called their denotation, which is their dictionary definition, and they have their connotation, which is their cultural baggage, and then they have their etymology, which is the part that I love most. So my word this year is evaluate. And evaluate really comes out of two words in Latin. The E part means something coming out of or out of. And the valuate part means, it comes from valuare, which means to give something a value. But it also comes from valere, which is to be strong and to be well. And so the word evaluate for me means to look at something and decide whether or not it's worth my time, worth my effort, worth my attention, financially viable, all of those things. But for me, it also means when I evaluate something, it makes me stronger because I get to take ownership of the things that I decide to do and don't decide to do, because it's really, really hard for me to say no. It is so hard for me to say no, especially when it comes to when it comes to everything. And so the word evaluate for me not only means, can I get paid for this, or is it going to be worth my time? But also, is it going to make me a stronger person? Is it going to make my decision-making stronger? And it is going to make me feel better about myself. It is going to make me better. So evaluate has lots of meanings for me, and that's how I like my words.
That is how you like your words. Well, I'm having a 2-year trend of words that you can find on Pinterest written in fancy script, or probably by stopping into Michael's and purchasing a board with the word on it. And yeah, so last year's word was flow, and you can get that word in anywhere you want. And my goal was to find flow more and to go with the flow more. And I think, I mostly did those things.
Yep.
And this year's goal or word is play. And I actually chose it not so much because I want to spend more time being playful, although that is absolutely true. But the real reason I chose it is because of the phrase, basically, the famous lottery phrase, you can't win if you don't play. But what I'm thinking of isn't so much the lottery as it is everything that we said at the beginning of the episode about goal setting, that you can't sell the book if you don't write the book. You won't make any end of year lists if you don't have a book out there to be in contention. So I'm just thinking about sort of staying in the arena, I guess, to go with the Brené Brown phrase. And I like play as a sort of fun way to remind myself that you got to be in it to win it. Serena, do you have...
I don't have a word. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. She doesn't have a word.
I know. I think TBD is a good word for you.
TBD. Yeah, seriously.
Well, and it also gives us something to look forward to, because I always like the words that she chooses, and I'm sure you're going to come up with a great one.
I hope so. Here's hoping.
Or we could just stick with TBD and find out what happens with the... the various proposals and all the other stuff. Serena's year is TBD.
It is.
Which is really true of all of us, right? I don't think you can find that at Michael's on burned in wood in a rustic pattern, though. So those are... Oh, I was going to talk about podcast goals.
Oh, yes, do.
Yeah, so I have sort of mixed feelings about podcast goals. This is maybe more behind the scenes than anyone wants to be, but... We talked about this a little bit last week, we talked about a little when I was talking about my goals, how much we are loving the coaching episodes where people come on and we coach them through a particular problem. So we definitely want to do more of that. And that is on my list. But I would also, it's funny because I would like to reach more listeners without necessarily feeling like, it's not like I have a goal that is, reach X listeners in X year. It's more that I feel like we have a lot of great content. I mean, we're on episode 296. We're almost at 300 that I think more people would love and enjoy. So I'd like to find those people. So one of my goals for the year is to reach out to other podcasts that we love that have similar audiences and that we think you all as listeners will love, and propose a swap, where we will toss their episode into our feed midweek, so you kind of get a bonus. If you haven't heard this podcast, it's a chance to check it out. And if you've heard it before, you can choose to listen or choose to blip by. And they do the same for us. And again, this isn't about... it's not about monetizing, or it's just... I'd like us to be more widely heard because we are amazing. So there's that. And, figuring out whether Substack is the right platform for us to stay on is a small piece of that. But really, it's just all about, how do we get more writers and future writers and writers at all stages of their careers to come in, start listening, and start talking back to us.
That's been the thing that has been amazing in the past year and a half, especially in the hashtag MWriting Facebook group, where people are like, that proposal that I started because you had that podcast where you talked about starting proposals, I did it and I sold it. Or, and we get to follow along, and it's like we're actually getting to play a role in helping people get words out into the world and books out into the world. And I think that's one of the most important things I do with my time. And I'm so thrilled that we can be a part of that.
Yeah, that's, you were talking about in the last episode about getting letters about your books, and that isn't something that happens to me very much about my novels. And if I do, it tends to be about fried chicken, which is life-changing in many ways, but not. But we do get these about the podcast, you know, about the ways that we've been in people's ears through difficult times, or that we've inspired them to finish entire books or proposals. And yeah, I too adore it. My life motto is I tell true stories, and it has also always been, and I help others to do the same. So I feel like this podcast helps to fulfill that.
Absolutely. We all good? This is another year coming to a close. It's just, I love these reflection moments. I love it. I love it too.
And if we, you know what, if we didn't do this, I wouldn't put the time in. If we didn't do this, then my goal for next year would be to finish the next book. And that's a great goal, but that's probably what I'm going to do anyway. So to be branching out into other areas is because we sit down and try to figure out, you know, what do we want to do with our time and how can we get better at this thing that we love. And so I appreciate this opportunity as, I did do it before, but I do it better now that I have to tell you guys about it.
And stay accountable and check in halfway through the year. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All those things.
Yep. All right, everyone. I think that's a wrap on 2021.
Does that mean that, like, I've already prepared my holiday dinners and hosted my holiday guests and taken down the holiday decorations and I'm just already, wow, this is great. Now, come on, we're not wishing our lives away. Stop wishing your life away. It's going to be a great couple of weeks.
All right, everyone. Until the beginning of 2022, until next week, until next year, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause. Stop.
Stop.
Thank you.